Good morning. I invite you this morning to open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 27. We'll be looking primarily at verses 26 and 27 as we look at this story of two women and their hearts in regards to motherhood. It's actually a tragic tale in some ways towards one woman who has a child and yet doesn't have the heart of motherhood. And it's a tragic story that actually speaks prophetically, actually, to the culture that we live in. And then the second woman who's about to lose her child, and out of her heart is, out of this tragedy of almost losing her child, we see the heart of motherhood be birthed in her and come through her. And as we think about motherhood, I want to suggest to us that what lies in the balance in this story is not simply the life of a child, though it is, but it's actually the fate of motherhood as we look at these two women. The context of this passage is that Solomon has ascended to the throne after his father David has died, and God meets Solomon in a dream. And in this dream, God says to Solomon, "You can ask anything of me, and I will give it to you." And Solomon asks for a discerning heart to know right and wrong, to have a heart of wisdom and to lead his people in wisdom. And then God says to Solomon, "You could have asked for anything, but you didn't ask for health and you didn't ask for wealth, but you asked for a discerning and wise heart to lead my people. Therefore, I will give you all of those things." And isn't it interesting that in our Christian culture, we live in a culture that has just reversed that. In our culture, in our Christian culture, many today preach a health and wealth gospel. They're looking for health and they're looking for wealth. And what they lose is a discerning heart that reflects God's wisdom in them. And we live in a day and an age where we see that the heart of God is often missing. Sometimes, sadly, in the church and in the home, but often in society as well. And as we look at these two women, the first woman who has lost her child because she crushed it as she lay on it accidentally and then traded it out for the living child, I want you to look at her heart and be careful not to judge her. Because maybe the tragic reality is, how did she get there? Many of you women will look at her and say, how could any woman just give up a child and say, oh, just divide it in two? But maybe the larger picture is, how did this tragic woman get to the place where she's at? And I think the picture is actually very clear to us. The answer is very clear. Because all we need to do is open our windows and look out into the society that in which we live. And as I look at this first woman, not only is it tragic for her soul, because we need to worry about the heart of motherhood in the lives of women today in our culture, as we'll see, but in the future for our children and our children's children going forward as well. But here in this passage, we see this tragic woman. Lost her child, swapped her dead child for a living child, and then when the living child is put up to be divided in two by the sword, she very quickly says, "Divide it. I'll get half and she'll get half, and neither of us will get a living child." How sad that a woman's heart could get to such a place. That though she had all the biological means to be a mother, she missed the heart of what it means to be a mother, because she's missing the heart of God. And it's reflected in this tragic story of her flippant perspective on her child, both hers that she swapped out, and then on this living child that is going to be divided. But I want to ask the question, how did this poor girl get there? See, often in the culture and the society around us, all of us, though we have hearts that are sinful, after a while society begins to take away more and more and more of that godliness and grace and mercy until our hearts simply become stone sometimes. Let's look outside for just a moment into the culture in which we live. In 1996, Judge Robert Bork, the famous Robert Bork and the Reagan Supreme Court Justice nominee, wrote the book Slouching Towards Gomorrah. He wrote that book in 1996, speaking about where America was headed as a society and as a nation. And I would say to you today in 2020, we have face planted ourselves in Gomorrah. That we live in Gomorrah. And the question we need to ask is, how do we get there? Because the culture we live in actually resembles this first woman. And it's a tragic story, but she got there in a way that many of our women and our children will grow up in if we're not careful. See, if you take society, you take God and the authority and the centrality of his word outside of the society, out of the society and out of the home, and sadly even now out of the church, the world begins to unravel and shape itself into any shape or form. And after you take God out of society, now you have to figure out where things came from. And when things all came from a primordial ooze, there is no dignity. There is no image of God. And so the image of God in which men and women are created in the glorious image of God, we deconstruct that. We're no better than the animals, and we live in accordance with our passions and encourage each other to live in accordance with our passions. And in those passions, when a child is conceived, all of a sudden, without the image of God in us, that's been deconstructed, it's not even present in the child conceived in the womb, and so we call it simply cells or a piece of tissue. And the unborn child who has the image of God becomes a convenience. I'm not ready to have a child. I want more in life before I have a child. It becomes a commodity. And once the convenience of abortion is set into place, the commodity is we sell its parts for whatever we need them for. And then once we've taken the heart of God out of, the image of God out of a baby in the womb, we begin to confuse in our society gender roles. Or better, we eliminate gender roles. We deconstruct the nuclear family. We start by getting rid of the fathers, and then we start going towards the mothers until there is nothing of any semblance of the image of God or God's call to fatherhood and motherhood left for us to recognize. And we get to a place where it's very easy for a society to throw its kids out the window and to sacrifice them for their own whims. And the result of such a society is a young woman represented in this story. But why bring this up? It's not simply because society is struggling, but a mother's job is horribly hard. And if you're a mother and you're listening, you know exactly what that's like. In fact, I, as a male, as a father, as a pastor, I don't fully recognize at all what you go through. I don't know all the duties, many that go unmentioned and unseen, that hold our households together and our children together. But then there's all the concerns and all the juggling that goes on and all the worries and all the fears and all the prayers. And is it any wonder that mothers even get any sleep? See, it's hard enough simply to be a mother, but to be a mother in a society where a godless hurricane is constantly mocking your service as a mother, which laughs at your sacrificial heart and love, which spits on your heart and seeks to honor God and reflect His glory to your family and to your children. It's hard enough being a mother on a good day, but it's awful hard to be a mother where it seems like all of society is against you. There is pressure to defend yourself for staying home. There's pressure to defend yourself for being a mother and desiring that above all else. There's pressure to redefine your calling and to realize where the pressure says, you're just a mother, you're a stay-at-home mom. Oh, how interesting. Like it's actually an alternative lifestyle. And oh, we need to pray for our culture. Why? Because my little girl is growing up in such a culture. And your little girl, who will eventually grow to be women and married and have children of their own. And I wonder, in this society, where the heart of motherhood will be when they get there. But in this passage, there's profound hope, isn't there? That in the midst of this storm, there's a true heart reflection of what it means to be a godly mother. Because after all, I would suggest to you that when God calls us to honor our father and our mother, it's because men and women are created in the image of God and husbands or wives are brought together as Christ loved the church and the church submitting to her husband in a wonderful union. And from that comes children and all reflect and point to the glory of God. So therefore, it's important for us to see the heart of God and the heart of what it means to be a mother. And so we turn to this second woman, if you would, the woman whose child is now going to be split in two. And as that sword comes up and Solomon says, cut him in two, notice the cry of her heart. Verse 26, and then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, and then there's a pause, isn't there? Because it gives us the reason for what she's about to say before she actually says it. Because her heart yearned for her son. And at the heart of godly mothers is a longing for their children, is a yearning for the very best for their children. And when they don't see it displayed, their hearts are broken. And when they see it displayed, their hearts are filled and enraptured. And they worry and they fret over the children that they have borne and as they grow to be godly or not godly children. Their hearts begin to yearn. And I would suggest to you, and I know that my wife's heart as a mother reflects very differently than my heart as a father. And that needs to be honored. Not that fathers are any less than mothers, they just are different. And the heart of a mother is constantly yearning for her children. And such a yearning is a wonderful picture, actually, of the heart of God. And throughout the scriptures, we see God loving and pursuing his children, Israel. And we come to Matthew chapter 23 and in verse 37, where Jesus looks down on Jerusalem and he says, Oh, Jerusalem, Oh, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those that are sent to it. How often have I gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wing, and yet you were not willing. And here's the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ looking at his children Israel and Jerusalem at the center of Israel, the heart of Israel, and he is yearning. He shows his heart, his longing to bring them together under his wing and care, and yet they've run away. And in this woman, not only we see her heart's yearning, but then we see her sacrifice. And notice as this verse goes along, because her heart yearned for her son, she said, "Oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means put him to death." But the other said, "He shall neither be mine nor yours, divide him." And here's the sacrificial heart of God displayed in mothers. And as each mother grows towards these longings of yearning and sacrifice, they begin to more clearly and fully reflect the heart of the living God. And the heart of the mother towards her children is that of God's love towards his people as well. Earlier we read Philippians chapter 2, and we see the sacrificial heart of God towards us, his children. Paul is saying to the church in Philippi, let your hearts be like that of Christ Jesus. And then he describes the heart of Christ, which is also reflected sometimes poorly and sometimes in growing fashion in the heart of motherhoods and in mothers. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. In humility, count others more significant than yourself. Just look back in your life and see your mother and her sacrifices that she made so that you could have the things that you had or the opportunities that you had that she may never have had in her day. Or think back at your mother who was at your side and awake while you slept with a heavy fever or in challenging times in your life. Or think back at your mother who gave up her passions and abilities and desires that she may have had for herself. But when you were born, you captured her heart, and her calling became one with you. But these days, we don't want to do that anymore. And yet, in this passage, the heart of Jesus, the mind of Christ, is reflected in his sacrifice for you and I. And it's often so wonderfully reflected in the humble humility of a mother towards her children. And here's a mother willing to give up her heart, her son, to give it to the other who stole him, simply so that he can live, though she will live without him. And in between these two women is Solomon the wise. See, wisdom is knowing right and wrong, and that's what Solomon asked for, a heart of wisdom. But the origin of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And what Solomon is doing in this passage is he has tested the heart of these two women to see who the real mother is. And then he honors godly motherhood. And how does he do that? He says, "Give the child to her, for she is truly his mother." And in such a way, he is honoring the wisdom and the heart of God that he can see through the wisdom that God has granted him to recognize that reality in this mother as well. And brothers and sisters, we live in this day and age, as we described it, in a society where it's just this gale force wind constantly against what it means to be a godly father and a godly mother and godly children and a godly family and godly in every aspect of life. Everything is being attacked. And it is our responsibility in that reality to honor mothers, to honor their efforts to grow in grace and truth and godliness, to bless and protect and defend them, and in doing so, to defend godly motherhood for the future of our children, so that they may be instructed by that reality. So how do we do that? Let me just summarize a couple ways. First of all, I want to speak individually to mothers, because there are some of you who are mothers and you judge yourself in accord with other people. And I want to say, stop it. Repent. God didn't want you to look at others and say, I wish I could be like them. My poor children, they only have me. Know that the God of all the universe formed you in your mother's womb and formed your children in your womb to give them exactly to you for the purpose of you to be for them what God has called you to be. What a joy, what a privilege, what an honor. And the God who granted you this glorious calling will strengthen you and fulfill that which he has begun in you, for his glory and for the betterment of your children. And so I would ask you to do a couple things. Mothers, honor your own calling as a mother by feasting on God, trusting and resting in his grace, in his love, in his mercy towards you. And then fulfill your calling, not in your own strength, but in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. When you compare yourself to others, you're envying, you're coveting, and you're decrying the image of God in which you were created and called by God for the special task of being a mother. God does not make mistakes. And he who began a good work in you by granting you the children that he did will bring it to completion in Christ Jesus. Husbands, honor your wives' God-given call to be a mother. You as a husband are called to be a prophet, priest, and king in your home towards your children and towards your wife. And you need to fulfill that calling towards your wife as she seeks to fulfill her calling as a mother. As a prophet, you need to know her heart intimately. You need to walk into the darkness with her. You need to allow her to share her fears and her anxieties in that place where no other man can go. And listen well. And then preach the good news of the gospel to encourage and strengthen her in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a priest, you need to follow that up by interceding for her, but in praying with her and for her. And help her to understand the uniqueness of her person and allow God to work within her. And as a king, you need to provide for her and to protect her. Provide for her so that she doesn't need to worry about earthly things and she can fully give herself to all that God has called her to in this glorious calling. And then protect her. Protect her in society. Protect her before other women. Honor and glorify her there. And especially protect her before your children, for they are watching and they are taking notes to see how you will honor their mother before their eyes. Children, the scriptures tell us, honor your father and your mother, Honor her as she is called to be your mother, and God has given her authority over you. You are called to honor her and obey her in the Lord Jesus Christ. Obey her as you live under her and your father's roof. And as you leave, you need to learn how to honor her, to give great weight to her thoughts and her opinions. Honor her as your mother and the choices that she has made before your friends. Though their parents and mothers may have made different choices, never, ever be embarrassed and never, ever be ashamed at your mother who's seeking to live out her calling as a godly woman before the face of God. Honor her. Corporately, mothers, I would ask you, don't compare yourselves and don't compete. You are unique in your callings. Fulfill those callings and bless and encourage one another. Help each other in those areas where each is struggling. And bless and encourage as you go forward together in this noble calling. And as the church, we need to honor mothers. And we need to honor fathers. And how do we do that? First and foremost, we need to do that by preaching and teaching and exalting the truth of God's word above all else. We need to affirm and teach and bring forth the word of God into each other's lives to encourage us to grow as God has intended us to grow. We need to help in our programs and in our Sunday school classes to help parents and help mothers. We often do so much assuming that just because a person becomes a Christian, well, they're going to be a great and godly mother or father. And they haven't the slightest clue, and they're fearful to even say so. And we need to bring the word of God and come together and bless and encourage them as well. And then we need to display the truth of God's word in its fullness in every aspect of a woman's life. Use the word of God to come alongside to strengthen. Use the word of God to bless. Use the word of God to support them and by teaching them and helping them to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in the church, families, husbands, children, if we don't support and strengthen mothers through the word of God and through prayer, the day is coming where motherhood and Mother's Day will no longer exist. And what I mean by that is, yes, people will pump out babies. I'm not suggesting that won't happen. But that's not all it means to be a mother. What will be quenched is the heart of God in the mothers that are around us, in the mothers of our future. And God has called us in the 10th commandment, hasn't he? Honor your father and honor your mother. And isn't it interesting that it is the only commandment that comes with a blessing and a promise? Honor your father and your mothers. Why? So that your days might be long in this earth. And as we think about our society, maybe the first place we went wrong is we stopped honoring fatherhood and motherhood. We stopped honoring our father and we stopped honoring our mother. And see, with a blessing and a promise comes the opposite as well. And the way that we can reverse the course of our society and not have the tragic stories of this first woman is we need to live out the truth of the gospel in God-honoring ways, in supporting and blessing and encouraging each other as Christian families. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the mothers represented in our church this day and the services that we have, people who have heard this service. And Father, many are the mothers because each one of us has a mother and we've been blessed and we've been strengthened, we've been encouraged. Father, help us to look at the tragic realities of our society. As the men of Issachar of old, it says that they looked and they knew the days, and yet they also sought to know how Israel shall walk in them. May we in our day be godly, a godly church, godly husbands and wives, godly children, godly families. That we too may honor you by knowing the day and by doing what is right and leading in God-honoring ways. Father, bless each mother. Bless each lady in our church. Thank you for the heart of God within them. And pray that you would allow that to be reflected in glorious and wonderful ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.